It is 20 minutes after 6 o'clock here on AM 1390 KJAM. Taking a quick look here at the weather here. We had a nice little decent spell roll here through the Madison area of some freezing rain mixing with snow, then back to rain as it fell through the sky. Expect that to carry on later on tonight, about a 40% chance precipitation later on tonight. But those temperatures going to take a steep nosedive into tonight and into tomorrow. Single digit overnight low of 1 degree and back into the negatives by Saturday as well. We'll be sure to keep you up to date with the latest changes in the weather right here on AM 1390, AmazingMadison.com, and our various social media platforms of KJAM. This is Coach's Corner, live from the KJAM studios in downtown Madison. Give a big thank you to Madison Gymnastics Coach Merity Dossett for coming on in our first little session. Now we are in studio with a pair of gentlemen that need no introduction, but Dakota State University baseball coaching staff head coach Jeff Schaub and also Brady Band's assistant coach and pitching coach as well. Gentlemen, thank you so much for coming back on the show again.
Hey, thanks for having us back, Paul.
Yeah, thanks, Paul. That,
man. Absolutely. Gentlemen, your season getting started here very soon, less than 2 weeks away from opening day, best day of the whole year, I would imagine, especially for college baseball, and as well going to be taking a nice long trip, not so much of a long trip, but a trip down to Kansas, get season started in against Kansas Wesleyan in Salina, Kansas. Played against them before. It was my last year at Southwest Minnesota State University. Go Mustangs, by the way.
Yeah, that's they right. Start, there's the plug. Right there.
Right. Had to throw that one in there, but we saw what's the Kansas Wesleyan brought out as well. We'll talk about that coming up here a little bit later. But getting the, you know, coming back from winter semester, from winter break, and getting practice started with the big roster that you have coming into this year. You know, just how has been indoor practices going for your team so far?
Well, you know, you were talking about the weather before and how the cold spell is coming down. So as you can tell, you know, the weather is very conducive to get some good reps outside. You know, we really do a good job of maximizing the time that we have indoors. We have two full gymnasiums. You know, we got the two hitting cages. And Coach Brady's done a good job of really allocating time appropriately to make sure that it makes for a longer practice for both me and him, which is fine because this is the best job in the world that we got. But the players are getting a lot of reps in smaller groups during that extended period of time. And, you know, we've been meeting with the team, individual meetings this past week to basically set a standard to where they think they might be. And we have a good dialogue with them. And it was nice hearing that all the guys – we're pretty much on par with where they thought they are, you know, from a physical baseball perspective. And, you know, they're all excited, every single one of them.
Yeah,
you know,
we're like excited.
We're excited. He says 10 days away. And, you know, we've been grinding. Okay. It gets to our mentality here as a baseball team. We have to be grinders. And we're in the office at 5 a.m. Practice starts at 6 a.m. and we're probably usually there until about 6 p.m. just to come back, turn it back around, and get back to the office again, get back to work. And we're hungry. We're hungry, Paul.
Absolutely, and it certainly sounds like you guys are definitely excited. Now, Coach Bance, now over on the pitching side of things as well, you know, working indoors a little bit more, definitely different from, you know, working outside, you know, as has the pitching staff getting ready for the start of the season as well. You how has just the pitching and the bullpen work been going inside for the Trojan baseball team?
Actually, I love throwing inside because the weather's, you know, 68 degrees. I don't have to worry about
Amen,
that.
Brother.
Right? Don't have to worry about the different conditions we have to deal with. And for pitchers, it actually makes a lot more sense. I think, you know, the fielders get a little they get shafted a little bit indoors, just you know, having to work off a, you know, gymnasium floor and whatnot. Our outfielders really get shortchanged a little bit, you know, not having to deal with fly balls and stuff like that. But from the pitching standpoint, I think we're doing well. We're working on getting guys stretched out. You know, as Coach said, we're having these one-on-one meeting with guys, talk about our roles for the upcoming season, and you know, guys really wanting to own those roles. So, you know, going into a long 55 game season. You know, those roles will change over the course of time, but It's been going well. I like what we see, and we brought in some arms that semester. Yeah. That's really going to help us over the long haul.
Yeah, and especially with the size of the roster they now have to work with this year, a team at least twice, if not three times as big as the team that you had last year. I'm sure that makes it maybe not so much easier, but you have options to work with out on the field.
Absolutely. You know, at the end of the day, we feel really strong about where we stand with the starting lineup and with our starting pitchers. And we basically had to have really tough, but constructive conversations with our bullpen saying, you know, we need you guys to be really strong anchors in this situation because, you know, I think we described every single one of them. They got to be like the Boy Scouts, got to be ready, be prepared. Right. And, shockingly enough, they all buy into, like, they need to be able to get one out, three outs, two innings, whatever. And they understand that they may not actually get an inning at all, which would be a good thing because that means our starting pitching is getting really deep into games. Mm-hmm. And I could then save my bullpen for games two, three, and four, et cetera. So you hit the nail on the head with options. I mean, like, I feel really strong with the options that we got, particularly from the experience that we have brought in, like a couple of junior college kids, to some of the experience. You know, they took some lumps last year on the mound, but those guys are coming back and they now know what the college game's like. That's going to make them better pitchers this year, no doubt.
Yeah, and you especially got to enjoy the fact that after the rough season under your first year with that 2-30 record, guys wanting to come back and competing for some of those positions as well, because each year that goes by, nothing is a guarantee, especially in college baseball. But I'm sure there are a few positions out on the field where maybe there's some clear-cut favorites, or maybe there's still some competitions going on here with less than 2 weeks of the season starts.
You know, we came into the season in the fall, like, with everyone, it's a clean whiteboard, right? And everyone gets to basically duke it out. The guys that were returning, I told them to look in the mirror, say, you guys were 2-30, as was I as a coach, right? And they knew they needed to compete. The guys that are returning, some of them are going to be returning as starters because they knew that they were going to get pushed by guys that we were bringing in. And they stood to the challenge. And, you know, we brought in a lot of good talent. We really did. I you know, I'm really happy to say we brought in a kid from Australia, Sammy Drummond. Gets exactly what we're trying to do here as a program. High GPA kid. You know, high baseball IQ. He's going to be probably my starting left fielder. Hayden Klibbe, you know, a starting freshman catcher. Very leadership-oriented. You know, that the catching position for me and how I value him is he needs to basically just take the bull by the horns of the pitching staff and roll with it. And, you know, I'm probably gonna be batting him eighth, but you know what? Like, he gets that because his job is to man the pitching staff. So we brought in some good. I've got Nathan Hedberg, a great junior college transfer from California. I mean, plays the game right. He's going to be my starting third baseman. I got to keep him healthy at times, so that's just going to be me being out to be a manager and him being honest with me with his health. But, you know, we do feel strong that we have a good 1 through 15. We really do. And like anything else, I, Brady's a pitching guy. I mean, I kind of get my coaching cues with there. But we're really only going to go as far as the pitching staff really holds up. It's just – in any team, I mean, as obviously at SMSU, wherever, it's going to come down to, like, whether the pitchers need to be bulldogs, and that's no pun intended on Madison.
And speaking of, you know, the you'd mentioned, Coach, about the catching situation last year, a bit of a black hole at that position. Anybody and everybody was basically a catcher at one point for your team last year, but also in the offseason or in the recruiting as well, bringing in a good amount of catching prospects for this year. Now, Coach Banz, I want to get your opinion on this as well. You know, just with the amount of younger guys coming in here and taking that role at the catching position to try and, you know, command this pitching staff as well, you know, just what have been some of the early things that you've seen from some of these young catchers to kind of put themselves at the forefront?
Well, as Coach said, Hayden Klibby is a guy that we're really high on. And as a freshman, that speaks, you know, volumes of, you know, what his talent level is. And I think we have some other guys as well. We have, you know, Adrian is from Toronto, another young catcher, and Brockstein's a local guy from Lenox. They all have their parts of their game that are going to benefit themselves over the long haul. Like any one of our young guys, they have areas of improvement. But I'm excited for them to get behind the dish and really take reins with the staff. I'm giving them the reins to call pitches. It's something that I think will help in the developmental process and for the catchers and pitchers to trust each other. And I know that that's kind of a hot topic in baseball right now, of who calls pitches. But, you know, in my philosophy, I think it will be a good thing for the course of the season.
And also now kind of just transitioning here a little bit, you two gentlemen, not the only coaches on the staff for this season as well, also bringing in a new assistant coach, Dr. Michael Roach, on the team as well. Just, you know, taking a look here, he's definitely got some experience at the coaching and the playing level as well in college baseball. You know, how was the first interaction of bringing in Coach Roach to this coaching? You guys are kind of laughing right now. I got to hear this story at the way this is shaping up.
It is, because here we are, we're slogging through it. I'm 2-28. We have a couple more games left. I don't know, last year. And I get this email from this guy. And, you know, like at that point, it's everyone's full of free advice, you know. And he's like, hey, you know, Coach Shab, my name's Mike. Okay, here we go. You know, like 35 years with Brandon Valley Baseball Organization. I'm from Yankton. I'm like, oh, okay, well, you know, like at this point, I could go with anything, you know. And he comes in the office. I'm like, kind of like this guy. And, you know, we talked about, like, how he could perhaps, like, be, like, a nice avenue for us into recruiting. Like, you know, we're on, like, the 6, 7, 8 counties around us and really tap into, like, you know, the Sioux Falls area a little bit. He's like, okay, yeah, no problem, I could do that. And we would see him at, like, local tournaments and stuff like that. I'm like, well, there's the guy, you know. And we actually didn't tell him this story that we're telling you until we drove to Indianapolis. We drove to Indianapolis to the ABCA conference, not but like 4 weeks ago. And, you know, I said to Mike eventually, I said, Mike, I really didn't think much of you. I was sick and tired of getting so much free advice. I actually wanted to like punch the guy in the throat when I got the email. Right. And, but let me tell you this much about Mike Roach. Okay. That man knows everything there is to know about the game. He connects on one level or another with every single one of my players. And outside of Brady, he's one of the best hires I'm ever probably going to make in my lifetime. And you know what? A lot of it was, Mike, you're moving to Madison. He just built a home here. He's happy to move in here. He's, you know, he calls himself a Madisonite already. And he embraces his role. He's a great academic advisor to the kids. He's a professor on campus. And we're actually extremely thankful to have him. We call him the team advisor, the consigliere. You know, like we put that on his business card, like team
advisor.
That's
perfect.
And he loves it. And you know what? Like, this is just another. He's not going anywhere. He's married. He loves university. His wife works for the university too. And you know, when we first visited with him, it was just like, you know. Here's just another guy coming in the office. I'll give you my 15 minutes. Like, you know, and that's not out of any arrogance on my side. I was just tired. And it was probably the best 15 minutes I took that entire spring. It really was.
Yeah, wealth of knowledge. Glad to have him on board. And he just, you know, adds to the staff and, you know, helping our guys develop.
Awesome to have another hand to deal with this bigger roster that you guys have coming in as well. And, you know, just kind of looking, you had mentioned a little bit, too, that ABCA conference in Indianapolis earlier this month. I'm sure there was a wealth of knowledge taken away from that. Connections as well, you know, just that those, you know, that's one thing in sports as well, especially at the college level as well, is building those connections with other coaches, other universities, other programs that can certainly benefit, especially at the ABCA conference in Indianapolis.
Yeah, it was my first time going. Definitely plan on going for years to come. Yep. Just meeting either, you know, former teammates of my own that have now entered the coaching ranks. So it's fun to see them and see where they're at. And then just learning more about the game. Coach Blanchard from SMSU.
Yep.
He teaches a mentorship class first night, and he's like, basically, you guys don't know anything until you come here. And he, my mind was blown after the first, you know, hour of just sitting and listening to clinics. And, you know, we spent a lot of time going through the schedule and finding areas that I'm, you know, I'm personally deficient in. Like, we talk about catching. I know enough to be dangerous, but don't know enough to, you know, help my guys at this level. So, you know, those were areas that I personally tried to, you know, enhance my own background in. And it's if anybody, you know, is interested in baseball from the youth level to, you know, to high school, yeah, I highly recommend it.
It's definitely, certainly, definitely a lot of things that you can take away from that from that conference as well that can benefit your program, and also for, you know, even prospective maybe players going into the coaching ranks as well. I've had a few former teammates of mine as well that have gone to the coaching ranks and have definitely benefited from, you know, building those connections with other coaches at that ABCA conference as well. Now, gentlemen, as we start to wind down here just a little bit, you know, taking a look here at your schedule to start off as well. And again, we talked about that that series got with Kansas Wesleyan to kick off the year. Then you go to a nice little spot down in Nebraska for Doan University for a four-game set. And you take a nice long trip down in early March to Louisiana, yeah, play a few different schools down there. And, you know, just looking at the start of the year before, you know, potentially the first home game against Briarcliff University on March 17th. You know, just looking at your schedule as a whole, how would you guys feel about with the team that you got and putting all the factors into with the start of the year for your team?
I deliberately built the schedule with the mindset that in order for us to get to where we need to be and be one of the best teams, specifically in the Midwest, but in the NAIA, they're going to be going through these teams that we're going to schedule. And whether we play them now, we play them later, I want to play them now to show my kids exactly what it's going to have to take to get to the top. And, you know, you're going to have, again, teams like Doan is a GPAC contender year in and year out. You know, but if you look at our schedule down in Louisiana, Delgado Community College, what is the coach, they're ranked?
They've been in the JUCO World Series the last 3 years, you know, guys getting drafted out of there year in and year out. You know, they went 45-10 last year, and they're no picnic, that's for sure.
And we tell our guys that, like, we're kind of upfront and honest, but, like, you know, if you want to be the best, you got to play against the best, and you got to eventually beat them somewhere along the line. And, you know, it's a tough schedule, so let me just acknowledge that. And it's going to make them better players. We got NDSU, we got SDSU. Now we can, that helps with recruiting certainly as well. Like, you know, hey, we got Division I teams on our schedule. And, you know, we're going to play those games to win them. You know, we're not going to just go there and be like, well, you know, we got them scheduled, so let me just hang them up. And those guys don't want to get snipered by us either. So I expect them to be competitive games. But as a collective, all these tough games are going to make us better when it comes to the North Star Conference. And, you know, some teams will schedule, you know, I'm not going to knock any coach for scheduling how they have to. Like, yeah, everyone has to do what they got to do. But you'll see some teams will schedule, you know, what you call the little sisters of the poor, you know.
The cupcakes, yes.
And, you know, and next thing you know, like, well, we're 13-0, but it's kind of on paper. You really don't know how good of a team you are. You know, but if we're playing the best right away and we see where we're struggling, where we see where we're successful at, it gives us a much better barometer for where we actually are as a team writ large.
And also, you know, with the schedule kind of putting together, I'm sure there's a lot of factors that go into, you know, creating that scheduling as well on your level with all the participating universities to try and get everything nailed down, sites, locations, times as well, and getting everything put into place for the season ahead, especially with a long season as it is with, you know, with college baseball.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think probably the last week I think I've called up the Days Inn hotels and the Wyndham brands to triple check and verify my hotel rooms. Probably
the logistics can just be
six or seven
sometimes.
Times. But like, let me talk to the logistics guy over here. This is Brady. Okay. Like tell him about this Louisiana schedule.
Oh yeah. So we're chartering it down to, Louisiana through Foreman Transportation,
absolutely.
Which is, we met with them today, trying to go over some of the, you know, the ins and outs of, you know, hey, we're leaving, you know, campus here. We want to get in New Orleans at this time. And personally, I've never been in New Orleans, so I can only imagine, you know, what this metro area is going to give us with a big chartered bus. But you know, we're working on doing like some team outings as well. You know, last year we went to the University of Arizona and watched them play Hartford up in the Northeast. I think we're going to go Tulane host Cal State Fullerton this year, a College World Series participant. So we're working on getting that scheduled for the guys to kind of take in, you know, an afternoon, you know, while we're down there and taking the city a bit.
And also, gentlemen, as we, you know, wrap things up here in this interview as well, most recently about this time a week ago, transitioning from the college ranks to the pro ranks as well, 2018 class of the Baseball Writers Association of America. Hall of Fame announced four new participants or four new inductees into the Baseball Hall of Fame, which includes relief pitcher phenomena that is Trevor Hoffman, the man could literally hit any pitch whatsoever, Vladimir Guerrero with a cannon of an arm. You got Chipper Jones, just a consistent threat no matter how old or how young he was from both sides of the plate. And oh goodness, I'm forgetting the last guy as well. This is terrible. I can't remember off the top of my head, but for Jim Thome.
Oh, yeah.
Jim Thome. The consummate gentleman.
The only guy
who
hit, what, 610 home runs and you forget about him.
Exactly. the kindest human being of all time, apparently. He's a true gentleman of the game. But those four inductees heading into the Baseball Hall of Fame, gentlemen, your thoughts?
Well, you know, yeah. I'm a Chipper Jones guy.
How can you not be?
You know, first off, I'm an Atlanta Braves guy. We're number three. You guys see me because of Dale Murphy.
Dale Murphy.
Who, let's just talk about the Hall of Fame for a minute since I have the microphone. The guy should be in the Hall of Fame.
Absolutely.
I'm gonna leave it at that, all right? When you retire number 34 all-time at home runs, you definitely get some. But, God, Chipper Jones. You know, the guy played the position, right? He gave himself up for the team, moving to the outfield for 3 years. A switch hitter with more walks than strikeouts, which is pretty impressive. Over a 300 batting average being a switch hitter, again, equally impressive. It was a great day for to be an Atlanta Braves fan, getting 97% of the vote, and how anyone, the other 3%, couldn't vote for him blows my mind. It's probably arrogance or ignorance.
They probably went with the sentiment, well, he's going to get in regardless. Let me try and go get somebody else in.
Right. You know,
that's what I would think in that situation. Like when Ken Griffey Jr. got inducted last year, he would just missed it by like a handful of votes. Yeah. It was going to be a unanimous vote. Some of those writers said, well, I knew he was going to get in. Let me go and try and get some of these other guys.
You know, but the choice of Hoffman's, it's very interesting, extremely deserving.
Yes.
You know, he was going to get in. It was always just a question, was it going to be this year?
Yes.
I mean, you know, and a guy that, you know, I call him a lunch pail guy. Like, yeah, I guess I'll go to work today, punch the clock, get my three outs and call it a day. And there was nothing... There's nothing really flashy about him out there. He had a bowling ball changeup. His fastball in his prime was actually very impressive. But for the most, when he got most of his saves, he was only throwing like 90, 91. Mm-hmm. But his longevity kept his health, and he had the opportunity to rack up a lot of saves, and that paid out for him. Let's talk about your guy over there, Jack Morris, for a minute there, Mr. Band.
So of the three things that we continuously argue about, Jack Morris is the one that we have come to an impasse on.
Yep, no agreement there.
Like, I think, you know, I think he's Hall of Fame worthy, and my friend over here thinks otherwise. He definitely had a long, you know, long career, racked up a lot of numbers. I think that's where the argument stems from. you know, racking up the stats. But, you know, the one that gets me, like, I love Vlad Guerrero. Like, you hear some of the stories of guys that come from Latin countries, Hispanic countries, and, like, the dude showed up at, like, trials with, like, without even any cleats, you know, playing in, you know, with stick ball and stuff like that, and then you watch him play the laser rocket arm, and then, you know, hitting home runs off the bounce and things like that. The guy swung at anything and everything within the area code, and he was fun to watch, and I'm glad he had a great career. You know, four deserving men, for sure.
Absolutely, and also one guy who just missed it, Edgar Martinez, looking to be the first designated hitter, full-time designated hitter, to join the Baseball Hall of Fame, and it's one thing, you know, he just missed it by, like, I think it was like 20 votes or something this year. It's probably going to be, if not next year, very, very close for Edgar Martinez to get into the Hall of Fame.
So we're divided on this one as well.
I'm torn. You know, the DH has made careers longer.
It has.
And it also has made the game entertaining for the American League fan. you know, the game is a slog. It's 162 games out of a season. And if his job is to play for ostensibly 2 minute segments at the plate, it doesn't make you that complete baseball player. We talk about the Hall of Fame. This is what it's about, right?
Yes.
You can also be in the Hall of Very Good. And I think he falls into that category. Maybe that's just my bias. I'm a National League guy, so like, at least I'm honest with that. Mm-hmm. But to me, there's a litmus test with it. And we talked about this driving to Indianapolis for 13 hours. It was when you were playing against Edgar Martinez, was there ever like, oh, my God, we're going to lose today because we're going up against Edgar Martinez at the plate? I don't remember hearing those types of conversations among the analysts of the game. Like, oh, well, this team's pitcher's going to have to really grind because they got Edgar Martinez at the plate. That to me, like, you really didn't hear that. But, you know, I'll interested to hear what the American League guy has to say over here.
I'm kind of torn too, and I think Coach is kind of spot on because, you know, one good hitter in a lineup, you can pitch around him. You know, Barry Bonds had to deal with that when, you know, he got pitched around like 200 times in a season that set the record per year. And there's ways to limit the special hitting ability that he had. Do I think he's going to get in? Yes, I do at some point. But I think that will also open the floodgates for, you know, a guy like David Ortiz. You know, he did play some first base back in the day, yeah. But majority of his, you know, playing career was, you know, at the DH level. So, mm-hmm. You know, I think, you know, if once Edgar gets in, I think that'll open the gates for a couple more guys.
Well, gentlemen, I'm sure we could talk, you know, all the way until 8 o'clock at this point baseball in general. But, gentlemen, thank you so much for coming on the show. Best of luck to you as the season gets started, and we'll be sure to keep up date with you with DSU baseball.
Hey, thanks a lot, Paul. I appreciate that.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having us again.
Absolutely. Gentlemen, that is Coach Jeff Schaub and also Assistant Coach Brady Bands here joining us on Coach's Corner. DSU Baseball gets their season started February 10th and 11th down in Salina, Kansas, against Kansas Wesleyan as well. This is Coach's Corner live from the KJM Studios in downtown Madison. We're going to take a break. We come back. Our next guest is Madison Wrestling Coach Chris Waba joining us in studio. This is Coach's Corner live on Dakota's Best AM 1390.